Even if somebody criticizes you, it's the mental emotional entity feels diminished. Even when you're driving and somebody shouts at you, "You idiot," we can feel that the mental emotional entity in that moment feels diminished. And immediately, the ego needs to immediately repair this injury, this diminishment, and he does that by shouting something back that's even worse. How do you recognize the? It's not a belief. You can't say I believe that there is a that the self is not real. I believe I am not real. That doesn't help you that much. It's just another a belief. But are you able to verify what the Buddha said, what Jesus said, all the many ancient teachings? If you look deep enough, that's what they all point to. Can you experience that or not experience, verify it in your own experience, realize it in your own experience, that there is something more fundamental, something deeper, infinitely more real than the person? So, and where is that? Well, it begins, the portal into that dimension, which I sometimes call your essence identity, as opposed to your form identity. Form identity is not only the physical form of your body, say, this is my body. People, of course, derive their identity. That's the foundation for most people's sense of identity. It's the body. The next thing is the mental emotional conditioning, the psychological entity. That is also your form identity, not physical, but it is a mental emotional form identity. That's the person. The person is a combination of, we could say, this the physical realm and then the non-physical person, because thought is not, there's more to thought than the physicality of the brain. We may talk about that later, some other now. So there is your form identity, the body and the personality. Okay. Now, that's all that most people who have not yet even begun to awaken to their deeper essence identity, in other words, anybody who is still completely identified with the form identity, which is the physical body and the psychological body, so to speak, they are trapped in that dimension. They only know themselves as that physical, mental, emotional entity, the person. And that's there's nothing else. They never, that's me. What are you talking about? It's all the reactive patterns that are part of that, all the stuff, every opinion that is a thought that you identify with, that's me, that's how it is. Let me tell you how it is. And I'm always right. And you defend this entity continuously. You're afraid of others who may diminish this entity. And you're continuously seeking something to add to this entity. I need, because it doesn't feel complete. It feels threatened and not enough. It's threatened by potential loss, or put some potential diminishment by what, even if somebody criticizes you, the mental emotional entity feels diminished. Even when you're driving and somebody shouts at you, "You idiot," we can feel that the mental emotional entity in that moment feels diminished. And immediately, you come up, you need to, the ego, ego needs to immediately repair this injury, this diminishment, and he does it by shouting something back that's even worse. Feel better now. If you don't shout something back, then you just, it's an injury that remains. And any criticism, if you're wrong in an argument, the ego needs to be right because you identify with opinions. When opinion becomes identity, you're in trouble. Go to the internet and see how opinion becomes identity and how you people attack each other. They've never met. They all know that they know each other only as their opinions on the screen. And then they attack and say, "You evil bastard, you identified with their opinion becomes identity." There's not the slightest ability to stand back from their opinion and sort of see it as an opinion. In other words, you are trapped in thought, and the emotions go with it. You're trapped in that. Your whole sense of self is in that. So you identify with every thought that arises in your mind. And your attention is continuously absorbed by this unconscious, compulsive, incessant stream of thinking, and the greater part of it is not only unnecessary, it's harmful. It's problem-making. It creates an enormous amount of unhappiness. But people don't know that. They don't know that a large part, or the greater part of the unhappiness they experience in their life, in whatever form, the Buddha called it dukkha, which is usually translated as suffering, but we can also translate it as unsatisfactoriness, misery, or just plain unhappiness. It's a generic term. Unhappiness can be many, many things. And very often, people don't even know they're unhappy because that's their normal state. So when you, if there's a sound in your kitchen, and it's being, let's say it's in, or anywhere, there's a sound that goes on and on, it's in the background, but you get so used to it, you don't know anymore that the sound is there. And suddenly it stops, and you suddenly go, "Oh, what was that?" Well, it was the old refrigerator. It only stops for 5 minutes every hour. And then you get a bit of relief from this continuous sound that you're not aware of because it's always there. So for many people, they don't realize that they're in a state of almost continuous unease, discontent, irritation, feeling something important is missing, never fully at home in the here and now, always actually ignoring the here and now, actively disliking it almost continuously. And they don't know it. It's a normal state. And so you need sometimes, they have opinion polls or not opinion polls. People go around asking people, "Are you happy?" Once a year, you see a list of the happiest country in the world and the unhappiest countries in the world, because they go around asking people, are you happy? I don't think that's necessarily a good question, because it assumes that they know whether they are happy or unhappy. And there are some countries near the top of the list. I've been there, and I think that can't be true. You rarely see somebody smiling in the street. "Are you happy?" "Sure." And it's usually cold in those countries also. Some are, they come a little bit more happy, or they drink. That. So there's, that is the normal state is not a pleasant one. And that is, we can't call that, spiritually speaking, unconsciousness, the unconscious state of,